So all week I've been looking at Ephesians chapter 1, specifically verses 16 through 23, and I want to wind it up today by looking at verses 22 and 23 specifically. Because what we've been looking at so far is Paul saying that it's in verse number 16, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. So the heart of Paul and the example that Paul is setting is that Paul is one he's constantly in prayer. He's constantly in prayer for others. And he goes on to say that one of the things he prays about specifically, which is an example we should follow, is they always pray to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight and mysteries, of the insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. So we've been talking all week about how Paul's prayer was that you as an individual, that you and I would have that knowledge, that knowing him. There's an intimacy in that knowing. But it would be more than just a knowing. It would be an understanding as well, that we would have that spirit, that we would receive that spirit, that Holy Spirit wisdom and revelation and insight in our lives to understand what's beyond your natural ability to understand, to have insight into things that is beyond your natural abilities to have insights. This is what he said that we should be praying for others. And then we read through verses 18 19. And in verse 18, he's talking about how he wants us to have that understanding as our very souls are opened up. The eyes of our souls are flooded with light so we understand those things. Verse number 19, he starts to begin to talk about some of the promises and that we should be understanding. We should have that understanding, that knowing, that wisdom, that spiritual insight into some of the things, the greatness, the surpassing greatness and power that is in Jesus Christ. The unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power, which is in us and for us. This is something that Paul said that you should know intimately and understand. Intimately know and understand the power, the glorious, great, surpassing, unlimited and surpassing power of Jesus Christ in and through you. He goes on to verse number 20 to say, which he exerted in Jesus Christ. So he's saying that, you know, I'm talking about that power. Paul's prayer is that we have that spiritual wisdom and insight, that revelation to understand that power that works within us, the power of Jesus Christ in us and through us. It's not my power, it's not your power. It's the power of Jesus Christ that is in us and works through us. He wants us to understand that, and he lets us know, reminds us that it is the power of Jesus Christ. It's not your power. It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus Christ. And he emphasizes that by saying, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, his own right hand, in the heavenly places. So he's given us that picture of Jesus Christ, who, as the Son, came, did the work, finished the work, and after his death and resurrection, rose again. You know, we get that picture of his ascension into heaven, where he is then seated at the right hand of the Father, indicating that all the work is done. Everything that you need is already done. This power that he's talking about, all these things that we're supposed to have spiritual revelation and insight about, all those things are already done and established for us. Because of what Jesus has done and because where he's at, seated with God the Father in those heavenly realms. In verse number 21, he carries that thought out a little bit further and says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and in the world which is to come. So again, he's talking about the greatness of that power, that there is nothing, there's nothing that's in your life. Give whatever name you want to give, you know, whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness, whether it's a name of a specific disease, no matter what it is that you can think of to name in this life that right now is burdensome and heavy to you and defeating to you, whatever name you would give, well, it is subject to the name of Jesus. And this is what he is pointing out and saying, that he is the ruler. He's got the victory, the authority, the power, the victory, the dominion over every name. So name whatever it is that is so heavy and burdensome to you today. Name whatever it is, and then subject it to the name of Jesus Christ, because his name is above all of those things. This is the insight, the revelation, the knowing, the understanding that he wants us to have about what Jesus Christ has provided for us. And it's not just for And I love the way he ends verse number 21. Not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Okay, this is making it clear that Jesus has this authority and this power in our future, but also for right now in this present life. In this life, these things are true. This is part of the revelation that he's talking about. This is part of the knowing and the understanding that Paul is saying. This is what I'm praying for all the time. Paul said, I'm praying for you that you would have that wisdom and that understanding. This should be our prayer for our own lives, but it should be what we pray for others. We should be praying that others, people that you know, have that revelation, that spirit of wisdom that Paul's talking about, that revelation, that insight, that knowing, that understanding of the greatness, the unsurpassing power of Jesus Christ that is at work in and through you. Where that power comes from, it's not your power, but it's his power that is in and through you. When you know that and you understand that, then you can start to experience it because that's when you believe it. And it's not just for the age to come. So many times, you know, we're told that, well, yeah, you'll have healing. Healing will come when you're in the next life. Beyond this life, that's where healing comes. Well, you can find reference after reference in the New Testament where Jesus himself is saying that these are things, or he speaks through individuals like Paul, and says that these things are for this present life, in this present age, in this present. These are promises for this life. Are they promises for the life after? Absolutely, for the age to come. But they're also for this present life, for this present world, and this present age. You have the unsurpassing greatness of the power of Jesus Christ in and through you, that in the power of his name supersedes and is over anything that you can name. Give it a name. If you can give it a name, it must be submitting to the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever it is, name it. Whatever it is, if it's poverty, say, poverty, you will submit to the name of Jesus Christ. If it's a sickness, say, sickness, you are rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's divorce, if it's an addiction, if it's depression, give it its name and say, you must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. This is the power in this life. And this is what Paul said that he was praying for. And so he set the example. This is what we should be praying for in our lives, but also in the lives of others that we know that God lays on our heart. So that brings us then to these final two verses that I want to look at today. Verse number 22 says, and he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Wow. Wow. But just stop and think about what you just heard. So Paul is saying, but I pray for you that you have the spirit of wisdom, that you have this revelation, this intimate knowing of the truths of Jesus Christ and of Jesus Christ. And in that intimate knowing, there's also understanding of the spiritual things and the spiritual truths. Paul said, that's what I pray. And that's what Paul said. He prayed that for those as he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. He prayed that for the Ephesians because that's what God laid on his heart. And it's the same God. This is God's desire for the Ephesians. It's God's desire for you and I. And we should be praying for each other that each one of us, each of us, has a deeper, personal, knowing, intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then the understanding that comes with that, the understanding of these kind of principles, of the power of Jesus Christ that is in you and through you, where that power comes from, and how it operates through you. And then verse number 22, as we found out that verse number 21 tells us his rule and his authority, his power and dominion is above everything. The rule, the authority, the power and the dominion of the name of Jesus Christ is above every other name anywhere in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, in all things. And that this is true not only in the age to come, but in this age, in this life, in this present life you live in. This is the truth. Then verse number 22, and he, Jesus Christ, has put all things under his feet. That means it's done. It's finished. All things that are a concern to you, all things, all the matters that are weighing on you, that are burdensome on you today, anything which is taking away the peace in your life and giving you a, for lack of, make up my own word, a disturbedness in your life and in your soul, anything that in your life is burdensome and heavy to you today, he has put that, all those things, under his feet. And Jesus has been appointed the universal and supreme head of the church. All right, so everything is placed under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all under his feet. That means it's already submitted to him. It's already done. I mean, sickness, poverty, fill in the blank, put whatever name of whatever your concern is today. Emotions, depression, divorce, finances, school, whatever it is. You put the name of it in there, it's already submitted to Jesus Christ. Already done. You don't have to make it already. All we have to do is enforce what Jesus has done. It already is under the feet of Jesus. And he's been appointed as the universal and supreme head of the church. Now, why is he saying this? Why all of a sudden, you would think that, okay, well, it's enough for us to know that all these things are under the name of Jesus Christ. But that's not enough to know. You need to take it to the next step, and that's why he's telling us that all these things are under the feet of Jesus Christ. But he's also saying it's under the feet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, by the way, happens to be the head, the supreme head, the universal and supreme head of the church. The church is what? It's you and I. It's the body of Christ. It's you and I that are his body. Jesus is, by the way, he's the supreme head of the church. So it's not enough for us just to know that all these things have been placed under the feet, have already been forced to submit to Jesus Christ, that he has the victory over all those things. That's great knowledge, but it's not enough. You need to know that, oh, by the way, Jesus is also the supreme head of the church, of the body of Christ. Why is that important for us to know? Because verse 23 says, speaking about the church, it says, which is his body, that's you and I. And it points out that, oh, by the way, Jesus Christ is the supreme head, the universal head of the church, of the body, which is the fullness of him. If you're part of the body of Christ, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted the work that he's done in your life for you, if you accepted the sacrifice that he made because of sin, and that your sins have been taken away, totally obliterated by Jesus Christ and what he did because he became that sacrifice for your sins. If you've acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in that way, then this is saying that he's the head of the church, which means he's the head of you, and the church is the fullness of him. The fullness of him who fills it. What's the it he's talking about? The church, you. The fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. What body are we talking about? The body of Christ, you. Within you lives the full measure of him, Jesus Christ, who's the head over all things, who has power and dominion over all things, who all things have already submitted to him. Well, that full measure of Jesus Christ, the full measure of him is in you. The full measure of him who makes everything complete. You don't need anything more. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ who dwells in you. Who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. That just brings a whole new understanding and revelation to when we read many times in the New Testament, but certainly so often in 1 John when we read about he abides in us. His abiding in us. When he abides in you, he fills everything everywhere with himself. When you allow Jesus Christ to abide in you, you are filled to the full measure of all the things, all the power, all the victory of Jesus Christ fullness of that in you. You have that power. So it's not enough for us just to know that Jesus has the power, the dominion, the authority. We need to know more than that. We need to know that he, as the head, has infilled himself to the full measure in each one of us. We have that fullness of Jesus Christ. We have that power. So he's already done it, but it becomes up to us to enforce it. A, we believe it. Second, we enforce it by speaking the word and by enforcing those victories. So whatever it is that you don't have a victory over today, you can say in the authority of Jesus' name, because the fullness of Jesus dwells within you, because the fullness of his power dwells within you. If you see and you believe that he is the supreme head of the body of Christ, and that everything is already, everything in this world that has a name has already been submitted to him, he has the victory. If you believe that, and you believe he's the supreme head of the body, and if you believe that because of that body, he fills that body to the full measure, he fills it with the fullness of himself. If you believe that, which you should because that's what Paul's saying, if you believe that, then you know and understand all that power and authority that he's been talking about all these verses. It is in you and through you. But that means you've got a part to play. It's not enough just to know that Jesus has the victory. You need to be the one that enforces the victory that he has already done here in this present life. Because these things are true for the age to come, but also here in this present life. And when it comes to here in this present life, it's done, but it's up to me to enforce it in my life. It's up to you to enforce it in your life. Because the power of Jesus Christ in its fullness, the full measure, dwells within you. That is exciting, and that's liberty. And I hope that makes sense to you. I've told you all week long, if you haven't done it, pick up Ephesians today. Read Ephesians chapter 1. I'm looking specifically at verses 16 through 23. But read Ephesians chapter 1. And let the Holy Spirit show you even a greater awareness and reality and revelation of this in your life.